Welcome to the Game of Thrones podcast, the officially unofficial podcast for Game of Thrones on HBO. I'm Jim.
I'm Aaron.
And we just finished watching the last ever episode of Game of Thrones, 806. We don't know the title, thanks
73.
HBO.
They're just going to leave it this.
Yeah, just 73. No, yeah. No title for this one.
It's called. It's going to be called It's an Ending.
It's hashtag fan bankruptcy. What do you think of this one?
You know, I think if you enjoyed the way the season's gone and you really like how everything was foreshadowed and you're digging everything they're putting down as far as Dany the Mad Queen, then this is probably a really great capper. And I think if you are in the crowd that sees there's a lot of shortcuts and unearned moments and things that don't necessarily flow thematically or character, then there's not much to salvage here. And you know, my barrier for enjoying this episode was, if you'll recall, me announcing this as the episode started. I just want this to not be the stupidest fucking thing I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't.
No,
it wasn't the stupidest thing I've ever seen. In fact, there's a lot of things I kept thinking, especially in the first like 30 minutes or so when they're showing stuff like Dark Demon Dany with Drogon's wings behind her. I'm like, oh, man. Do you remember, like, when, I think people have done this with The Hobbit and the Star Wars prequels, where anonymous people would cut together alternate takes to mm-hmm. kind of, like, you know, like, this is the fan edit. I think there's going to be some fucking awesome fodder for fan edits in these last two seasons. Hmm. But
yeah.
This felt, you know, the Double D's wrote and directed this, and I felt like there's a lot of places outside of Flourish here or there where this kind of felt clunky and I, you know, like Jon Snow going to Night's Watch is kind of cool, but I don't know what the Night's Watch is. I don't know. Seems like he's just going to go up north of Tormund, which is what he really wanted to do. Which, do I feel good about Grey Worm getting justice? There's just a whole lot of, yeah. I mean, we got here and this was an end, but we left what I was wanting and hoping for a long time ago. What did you think?
I mostly enjoyed this. Like I said, I think in the spoiler cast last week that I declared fan bankruptcy after that
Finally.
Episode. Yeah, it took me a while, but my pockets were empty. I had to declare fan bankruptcy. And I think it was a good thing that I did because I kind of left all of the baggage of last episode behind, came in ready for people to, you know, just do what they were going to do in response to what Dany did. Not
sure.
Not worry about why she did it or anything like that. It happened. Let's move on. And I think that was the right attitude to come in with. Now, I'm a little curious why John was so hesitant, but I get it. He's an honorable man. He's mm-hmm. he's made a vow. So it took a lot to turn him. But
and he loved the woman, too.
He says he does. I never saw it, but
yeah,
okay.
Right.
I like where they left basically every character. I like that they tried to sort of run the gamut of fan theories on how this thing was going to end and sort of play every angle and then
right.
fall on one that ultimately I think felt pretty good. Like I think I'm okay with Bran being the king and the North. I think the most satisfying thing is the North being independent. That's kind of what I figured. I either thought Sansa was going to be queen of the Seven Kingdoms or that the North would have to remain independent because she just, I knew Jon was going to be king and she yeah. just didn't seem like she was going to bow to Dany.
The natural question of that is, so the North goes free, how long can Bran the Broken maintain? Like, I think he's that Bran the Broken is going to be an apt moniker because I don't think there's going to be 6, 5, 3, 2.
Mm-hmm.
If there's two kingdoms swearing fealty to the Iron Throne at the end, well, I don't know what it's not what it is, the non-Iron Throne mm-hmm. at the end of this, then I don't know. Although
yeah, it does kick open the door for every other kingdom to say we're independent.
There's a couple
too.
Of cool things. Like, I really liked how, like, Bran at the small councils, like, I'm going to try to find Drogon, and I'll let you to the anything that the rest of the running the kingdom. That's kind of a cool concept. Like, what mm-hmm. if he's able to find him, and what if he's able to warg into him, and there's a kind of cool possibilities like that I liked. I honestly think that small council scene is one of the better ones. Like, it's kind of like, oh, this, it's funny. There's a couple things, like I said, it doesn't feel earned, like Bronn being on the small council at all.
Yeah, and it's. I'm curious how Tyrion would ever trust a man like that.
Yeah,
but he did once before, and you know, now that he's back in power, I guess he's returning to his old habits.
I really like some of the, you know, like I said, the things that are going to be cool in the remix are like Drogon awaking from his slumbering underneath a pile of rubble. I thought that was really
yeah.
cool. I really stole a page out of Dragonheart. playing a lot of homage, like that's
okay with like the dragon that looked like a rock.
Sure, camouflage as a rock. Drogon destroying the Iron Throne, I thought was a little hokey, but with what they were trying to go for in this season, I thought it was like it actually backed up the theme.
So the thing that I like about it most is everybody says, "Oh, these dragons are super intelligent, right?" And they you can't tell it just by looking at them, but they understand quite a bit more than people give them credit for. Mm-hmm. And that kind of showed me that that was true at the end. Like, he sort of understood what Danny was pushing for all along.
Right.
And that enabled him, you know, to understand enough to destroy this throne.
I don't know the whole Drogon coming and being destroying the Iron Throne in a fit of pique and then carrying off his mom and his claws. Like, some of that, I don't know how well that worked for me.
Okay.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
But I do like the idea that, you know, like, it's funny because the show laughed at, like, the idea of democracy, like, which, again, I don't think anyone has been calling for, like, one man, one vote, one man, one woman, one vote democracy in Westeros. But the idea that they're essentially going to be like a House of Lords type of Kingsmoot situation, I think that's an appropriate, that's, I'm gonna call qualified, like, internet points, like half internet points for that prediction. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was kind of the cool. I liked the Unsullied deciding to go to Nath and be like the Nath Island's protection force, mm-hmm, in memory of Missandei. I thought that was cool. I thought Arya's, what did you think of the fate of the three Stark children? So we already talked about Sansa being queen and enough. She's the queen and enough. I mean, I'm fine. That's cool. I'm fine,
yeah,
with
makes
that.
Makes perfect sense.
I don't know. I like, to me, like, especially the way everybody was looking at her during the King's Moot, there was, I felt like there's a lot of people like, why not us? You know, like Royce. God, I'm having a hard time talking tonight. Is like, you know, why not the Vale? Like, I think that that's going to be trouble in the future, but I, you know, Sansa being the queen in the north, that's fine.
Yeah, no, I think that makes a lot of sense. I'm a little confused by Arya's end. Like, she, you know, she doesn't want to be a lady. I get that. She wants to be some kind of fighter, but I don't know that, yeah.
She's going to quest.
Generic adventure did not ever seem to me like her goal. But I guess that's where they're going to leave her, and I'm not angry about it, right. I guess.
I wish there was a little bit more, I guess, nautical yearnings to her. Like, I never,
yeah.
I saw her maybe being like, you know, a Kane from Kung Fu wandering the land and, mm-hmm, like doing small things of justice. And like, it'd be cool to see her like as a Westerosi Batman. Like, you know, you don't know which town, yeah, Arya is in, but if you're the pickpocket that's in, you know, or God help you, you try to take advantage of a woman, she's going to fuck you up, but proper. Her being like a kind of like a sailing, I wish there was a little bit more to her yearning for that, because, mm-hmm, what it seemed like her arc was she wanted to be a knight or something of, you know, some kind of fighter, some kind of soldier of justice. And, mm-hmm, it feels like, yeah, you're right. She's just doing, you know, Indiana Jones type of turn.
Sure. There was somebody who did get to be a knight, though. Sir Podrick.
Yeah, on the Queen's Guard or the King's Guard. I really like Bran's gold and blue kind of King's Guard motif.
Okay. I didn't take note of it, but I'll do that on my second watch.
Yeah, it's like bright gold and like a royal blue, it seemed like. I thought the scene of Brienne summing up just Jaime and the King's Guard, the white book, was pretty nice.
She left out some of the racier bits, some of the juicier things.
Sure,
she could have set the record straight on a lot of
stuff. It would be funny if it turned into a burn book. She's like, also Kingslayer.
Uh-huh.
Mediocre in bed. Reputation largely unearned.
Sure.
I thought that was like, you know, her recounting all the tales of his valor and bravery and then trying to sum up at the end and like the emotional beat of died protecting his queen. Like, that's tough for her to write. And I thought that's like, if you're going to go to this particular, you know, it's so Brienne, Brienne has sex with Jaime for one night. He betrays her, breaks her heart. Then she becomes the king, the Lord Commander of the Kingsguard, and she swore never to see another man, and she'll take that seriously.
Mm-hmm.
So one roll in the hay of Jaime Lannister, and
yeah,
that's it. I feel like that belonged in the white book, too. He's a heartbreaker. Don't trust him, ladies. What did you think? Okay. We can talk. Okay. Okay. Still staying positive. Can we talk about Ghost and the you fuckers happy now scene?
No, because I can't stay positive on that. If you want to stay positive and talk about Ghost, I'm in a catch 22 here.
Okay. That's fine. That's fine.
I think that does not make everything better.
Okay. But. Cause I'm pretty much at the end. Like I quite like the small council scene and how they kind of fade to the bickering of the running of the kingdom and kind of giving a preview of all that, and
mm-hmm.
you know, Tyrion trying to keep things light with a joke about stories of him being in brothels and whatnot. I alluded this at the top of the podcast, but I really have a problem with Jon declaring, you know, that he's going to take the Black, and it does seem like he's just going to abandon his post. And there is no post there. Like, what? I wish the show had said something about, like, well, you're going to be Lord Commander of the Night's Watch, which their new bulwark is going to be resettling the Northmen and the wildlings in the Gift and the lands beyond the wall and being like this administration to kind of like oversee all that. But it's like they didn't. So like there's a scene where Jon's leading all the wildlings north of the wall. Mm-hmm. And I kind of made this joke when the door slammed shut that Jon's like, all right, now you sons of bitches. The door's shut. If I ever catch you south of this wall, I'm gonna hang you. Like, what? Why are they all going north? Why isn't anyone staying here?
It seems to me like there isn't a Night's Watch. Like, there's a Night's Watch in name.
So they duped stupid-ass Grey Worm, who
seems
wasn't...
like it, yeah.
Like, that feels kind of shitty.
Because the ending very much to me feels like Jon going home, you know? Like, he did defect to the free folk, and yeah. Now he's living... He's just going to live out his days with them up there.
Right. I also thought it was shitty, the Grey Worm. Like, none of the people that helped... you know, for in any shape or way, free Westeros, and the final shape of that looked pretty horrific, but like none of the Unsullied or Dothraki are going to be integrated in any way. There's no one on that small council. Like, I thought when they said there's a Master of War vacant, Grey Worm would be perfect for that. Again, I like the mm-hmm. fact that they went off to Noth, but it does seem kind of bitter that none of the people that sacrificed so many things are going to get to partake in any of the rebuilding. And the potential rewards and prosperity that might go into that.
Yeah, where did the Dothraki even end up?
They just, I don't know, going to take Dany's campaign of freedom. They're going to be a real problem in Westeros. They're going to be yeah. just marauding around the continent for decades to come. You thought the Faith Militant was tough to corral. Wait until you see 20,000 Dothraki screamers just riding all over the range.
Yeah, it's crazy. I don't think I remember seeing them in the end.
Okay, Ghost. We ready to bitch about Ghost? Like,
yeah, I mean, this doesn't make it okay. This right. doesn't make it okay. Because no. Jon was perfectly willing to not say goodbye to Ghost, period. Mm-hmm. It was just sheer dumb luck that reunited them. And I think if they had him said a tearful goodbye to Ghost... when he sent Ghost north, that the reunion would actually be even sweeter.
Yeah.
So everybody's saying, oh, they were saving it.
Yeah.
For the end. It doesn't make any sense for Jon to save it because he had no idea he would see Ghost again.
Yeah. I totally agree. This whole, like, you can't animate Ghost. I just, like, we can get... I don't know. The whole scene with Drogon burning the iron. I'm thinking about how expensive it was to animate him as a pile of rubble and then him burning the Iron Throne and him doing the like 1 minute staring back and forth at Jon Snow. And I'm like, God, it just really still pisses me off about this, the direwolf situation. I thought that in this one scene where Tyrion is in chains and for some reason is able to, you know, be a part of this political process, it's the new fangled Kingsmoot. Him telling this thing about, you know, what really motivates people's stories got really dangerously meta. And I'm like, mm-hmm. oh boy, I don't know if the Double D's want to go in this direction.
After last week, it didn't feel right.
It's starting to feel a little self-congratulatory. Do you think, I don't know that it actually went over there to where people are going to, well, no, people are going to definitely be lampooning, this particular scene.
It did for seem... sure that and probably the one where, you know, Sam gives the title A Song of Ice and Fire to the history book, right?
Yeah,
which is kind of a theory that was floating around.
Yeah.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
Apes hunt humans. That is wrong.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
We're getting geared up for the 6th annual Summer Badass Fest. And while we're working on a slate of apex badass films to enjoy, we've got an early action-packed announcement to make.
Just like last year, we're kicking off Badass Season with a live movie watch and podcast recording. We've rented out a theater for connoisseurs of action films and Bald Move fans that just want to have a great time.
Unlike last year, this year's movie is top secret. Hush, hush. No hints, except it's incredibly badass. It stars an absolute icon of the genre. We're willing to bet most of you haven't seen it, and it's going to be an incredible viewing experience with a packed house of Bald Movers.
Those of you who came to last year's screening of Total Recall know what a party it was. And those of you who didn't, now's your chance to experience it. Meet me and Jim. Order some custom movie-themed drinks at the theater's full bar. Then watch us record the full podcast for the movie. We reserved a venue over twice the size as last year, but seating is still limited.
It's happening Friday, June 21st at 7 p.m. in our hometown of Cincinnati. Get full details and buy tickets at baldmove.com/live.
Cincinnati's actually a pretty great city to visit, and we've got lots of details for side adventures on our event page as well. The Reds are playing the Boston Red Sox in their fantastic Riverside Stadium. The thrills of Kings Island just minutes away, and I'll be leading a kayak trip down the scenic Little Miami River on Saturday.
Again, get full details and get your tickets now on our Badass Fest 6 page at baldmove.com/live.
I don't know what.
I just think they went for something. Maybe didn't quite understand the last episode was going to land like a big nasty wet fart.
No, they do. I do. I don't think they have any idea of what. And it's going to be interesting to see what kind of tone the special edition making of behind the scenes celebration that they're going to air this week. What did you think of Jamie dying in Cersei's arms beneath the shallow pool of rubble? That was a little like holy fuck for me.
Yeah, it didn't feel like that's what had happened after last episode.
Right.
That they had simply been hit with a few bricks.
Right.
It felt like the entire keep came down on them, but you know, you don't get a lot of scenes from this episode if the whole keep came down.
It's just such a weird emotional beat to serve. Like, you know what? Tyrion's just going to not know if his brother or sister got away or not. We need to show him going down, like in this long, long cuts and walking down these tunnels, just so you know where he's going, and then climbing over this rubble and seeing the gold, and then digging them out so you can see, oh, yes, they literally were in each other's arms. That, I mean, they wrote and directed this thing. They wanted us to see that scene. They got in the editing bay and they're like, yeah, that's what we need.
It's more of a Tyrion moment than, you know, Cersei or Jaime, and I'm fine with Tyrion moments. I want to say that that is more about Jaime being dead than Cersei being dead. At least I hope so. I hope that's the vibe they're going for, and that's what I'm taking away from it.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, the hell?
If you're a person that was, like, really on board Dany as the Dark Queen and bought all the stuff and was really on board with her being crazy or that being a militarily sound tactic to burn King's Landing, what did you think about her join me on the dark side speech to Jon Snow? Do you think that that worked for those people? Did it work on any level for you?
Did it seem
weird that Dany was like after this? It does sell more to me like just a moment of craziness because she doesn't see any danger with Jon. Like she's got that wild-eyed, now it's so clear to me, John, now that I've unshackled from the bondage of morality and ethics, I can see clearly what needs to be done. And you'll love me still, won't you, John? Won't you? I mean, where did this Danny come from?
No, I mean, the villains in any story, any good story anyway, always make a certain amount of sense to a certain number of characters. And I think, you know, if you're Grey Worm, if you're John and you see this, maybe it doesn't have the same effect on me as a viewer, where I just go, okay, Danny's evil and there's absolutely no redeeming her and it's time to kill her. Mm-hmm. That's my reaction, but it clearly... And I think people who, like, maybe gave Danny a little more leeway on their her whole burning King's Landing thing.
Yeah.
Maybe they, you know, saw those scenes with John and said, okay, well, John loves her and, you know, she's trying to do the right thing in the long run. I can see some kind of weird justification, but not in my head, man.
Well, it's funny because, like, there's a contingent of people trying to argue that what Danny did yesterday or last week was horrible, but, like, still militarily sound. Like, it was a sound tactical decision to inspire fear, despite the double D's in the, you know, mini after episode special features last week saying, oh, it was just a, you know, the military battle had been won. This was a rash, kind of spur of the moment, kind of a frenzy that took over her. This episode, I think, made it very clear that, no, she's just off a rocker.
Yeah.
Because, like, this is not the let it be fear then, Danny. This is over that side of psychosis and now thinking that everybody's on board. And so, I don't know. There's one thing I forgot that I quite liked that I want to mention, was during the Kingsmoot, the whole Ed Muir standing up to be like, I would like to throw my very mediocre hat into the ring, and just Sansa shutting it down.
Yeah.
And then him looking around to all the great lords and nobody's going to step forward, but no, hear him. That's pretty good.
A lot of good callbacks, I thought. And that's what you want to do at the end. You know, you want to give people, you want it to ring of Game of Thrones. And I think it did.
Yeah. Anything else we want to talk about?
I don't think so. We should find out what our audience wants.
This is the part where we have to say goodbye to everyone that's not a club member, because the Instant Talk podcast is for club members only. You can join at club.baldmove.com to become part of the discussion or to enjoy the Instant Talk part of the podcast. Without further ado, let's get to the live discussion.